welcome to our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our series called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave answers this hard question with a solid answer.
A better view where you stand.
And I've been trying to exhort you to be able to see it says Feast of the Lord. It doesn't say Feast of Israel. Now, it was given to Israel. I believe that the Lord really wanted them to celebrate as his chosen people. But I do believe because of what is said here, these are feasts of the Lord, and you shall proclaim holy convocations. These are my feasts. The word feast there, as we know, means appointed time. And there's seven of them. There's seven appointed times, and these are God's appointments. And so the idea is that the sequence and the timing of each of these feasts have been carefully orchestrated by God. And I believe that each feast as a whole, when you take them as a whole, actually speaks and tells a story. And as you can see here, as you can see that, and you also have the handout, we see that the first four feasts speak of the spring feast, and then you have the three of the fall feasts, and the first three have to do with the past, the fourth one has to do with the present. We see that the Feast of Passover speaks about the death of Jesus Christ. We see that the unleavened bread speaks of the burial of Jesus Christ, and we know that the Feast of First Fruits speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we've gone over that, and last week we went over the Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. It speaks of the church, and we're in the church age now, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so we're currently in these long summer months between the spring feast and the fall feast. And so we know the next one that we can expect to show up on the horizon, well, that would be what we're going to go over here tonight. And that's going to be the Feast of Trumpets. So why don't you go here to Leviticus 23, verse 23. And it says this, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month. You might want to underline that, because this is the only feast that begins on the first day of the month. Okay? You shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, blowing of trumpets. Hence, we call it the Feast of Trumpets. A holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So we see that this is on the first day of Tishri, which is the seventh month. It kind of coincides with our September-October, okay? The purpose is to usher in the seventh month and begin, as we're going to find out here, the Days of Awe is what this is also known as, the beginning of. I believe it finds its fulfillment in the rapture of the church. And so you might even want to put here in Leviticus that it finds its fulfillment there in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 53, as well as 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17. So you might want to put that there. This feast is known by five different names. It's known as the Day of the Blowing of Trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets. It's taught in modern Judaism today. This name was given because there's a call for the Jews to remember their sins of the day. Second name is the Memorial of Triumph. This is more or less tradition that they believe that the heavens and the earth, there was shouting there from Job 38:7, and their belief was is that the heavens and the earth were created that day from Job 38:7. It's a Jewish tradition, but they think that it happened on the same day as the Feast of Trumpets. Third name is Day of Remembrance. Jewish theology teaches that it's given this name because this is the Jews are being called to remember their sins on their day, on this day, before the very next day that they're going to worship, which is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The fourth name is called Day of Judgment. It's Jewish tradition teaches that on this day all Jews pass under judgment and to see if their sins will be forgiven or not. So, and the fifth name is Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year. It's the beginning of the Jewish civil year. The Jews had two calendars. They had the religious calendar, and then they had the civic calendar. The religious calendar started with Passover, and the civil calendar begins on this day on the Feast of Trumpets. And they believe also that, again, that God created the heavens and the earth on that day. So that's why they look at it as their Jewish New Year from that perspective. Now, one of the things I want you to notice, it's a one-day festival only. Feast of Trumpets, just one day. We're told in Numbers 29, verses 1 through 6, if you just shoot over there real quick, we're given a little bit more information on this day, that there's certain offerings that need to take place. So if you go over to Numbers chapter 29, we see this. In verse 1 of chapter 29 of Numbers, it says, "And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, for you it is a day of blowing the trumpets. And you shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, one young bull, one ram, seven lambs in their first year without blemish, their grain offering." Again, this is a grain offering with no leaven. Actually, a grain offering will always be with no leaven unless it says something different. "Their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, 1/10 for each of the seven lambs, also one kid of goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides the burnt offering with its grain offering for the new moon, the regular burnt offerings with its grain offerings and their drink offerings according to their ordinance as a sweet aroma as offering made by the Lord." So, it's here in Numbers that we see what kind of sacrifices are going to be made for that day. And because they already have regular sacrifices for one, whenever it comes to the new moon and the new month, so that's going to be alongside of what they celebrate in the seventh month. So the seventh month, that first day of the month, is going to have all sorts of sacrifices on it because it also falls on the same time that they'd be celebrating normally the new moon of the new month. So we have those. Rosh Hashanah is the only Jewish holiday occurring on the first day of the month when the moon appears as a thin crescent. Think about that for a moment. That means that that will be the darkest night. And speaking of days of awe, the Feast of Trumpets, that lends to some understanding there, hopefully. Jews in ancient Israel announced the new moon with short blasts of a trumpet, but the new moon of Tishri was announced with long blasts. That way it was set apart from what they would normally do on that first day of that month. It is also a day that there will be no labor. It was a day of rest, like the Sabbath. It was to be celebrated by the blowing of trumpets. This trumpet was the shofar. It was not the long silver trumpets. This is this is from a horn of a ram called a shofar. By Jewish law, horns of all kosher animals are permitted except for the bull. Why do you think that is? What great sin did they do? The golden calf, right? So because of that, they could use any other one. So an ibex. If you've been to Israel with us, you've seen the ibexes at En Gedi. They could have used an ibex horn. They could use a ram's horn. They can use all these different kind of animal horns. Fine, but the because of the whole golden calf thing, the whole bull thing is out of. You can't use that one. And so ancient tradition also held that the resurrection of the dead would occur on Rosh Hashanah. And because of that, many Jewish grave markers will have the ram's horn on it, the shofar. The blowing of the shofar is a call of remembrance, of repentance. It's a symbol of a regathering of Israel. They're to call all the Jews to return to Judaism for this day. All Jews, they say, will pass under the judgment during this day and over the next 10 days after that. Another reason they blow the trumpet is a reminder to Israel this covenant relationship with God. And another weird tradition that they have, I want you to go to Zechariah chapter 3. They see this in chapter 3 as Joshua the high priest is standing before the angel of the Lord, it says there in verse 1, and Satan standing at his right hand opposed him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire, and Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, was standing before this angel, and then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I've removed your iniquity from you. So the filthy garments equals iniquity, okay? And I will clothe you with rich robes. I will put on a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And so what that is speaking of is kind of like they have this visual of Satan standing there about to accuse you before the Lord. And they believe the blowing of the shofar is going to confuse Satan on that day. And so he's going to believe that the Messiah is coming, and because of that, he's going to leave you alone, and he's not going to be able to bring these accusations against you. And so they see this as a day that to confuse Satan on the day that he's going to accuse Israel. And so that's another reason why they believe that you need to blow the shofar on that day. We also know, as I mentioned before, they believe this also speaks of the resurrection of the dead, that the sound of the trumpet will raise the dead. And so this is in anticipation of when that happens. They also believe that on this day when the trumpet is blown on earth, that three books are opened in heaven. This is what Judaism believes. They still believe that to this day. The first book is the book of righteousness. Here, they want to be able to see their or know that their names are inscribed in the book of righteousness. That means that they are in the book of life and will survive another year. And so their hope is that their name is going to be written in the book of life because they've been doing what God has wanted them to do, and it'll be there for another year. Then there's the second book that's opened up. It's the book of the wicked. These are the names of those who are not coming to repentance. These are the ones who are not coming and coming back to the Lord in Judaism. And so that means that they will probably not survive another year and that their name might be written in there. And then you have the third book called the Book of In Between. When I read this, it's going to sound a little bit like almost purgatory in a sense, okay? But the Book of In Between, since most Jews are neither totally righteous nor totally wicked, they're inscribed in the Book of In Between on this day and are given 10 days between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement to repent. These are known as the Days of Awe. These 10 days are considered the last chance for a person to repent before God's judgment falls, possibly resulting in death and the disobedience of the coming year. So if they're not repenting during this time of these next 10 days, and their name is probably going to be written in the book of the wicked, and they're probably not going to survive that year. And since no one can be sure which book his name will be inscribed, the Jewish teaching is that he should assume his name is in the book of in between and repent during these 10 days. If they sincerely repent during the days of awe, tradition holds that God will grant them life for one more year following Yom Kippur. And the days of awe are so solemn that weddings and other festive occasions are postponed until after Yom Kippur. And so, again, you don't really know where you lie, so you're just thinking that I must be in the book of in between, and I'll just make sure that I'm repentive. That way I have at least another year that God will grant me. Isn't it great to know the person of Jesus Christ? That you don't have to worry about that. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we're told. So, again, you can see the confidence that we have as a believer in Jesus Christ, that if anything happens to you, you know exactly where you're going to go. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, the Bible says. But to follow this tradition, you really don't know what's going to happen. I hope I'm in the book of life, but I don't know. I surely hope I'm not in the book of wicked. So I better just, you know, I'm probably in the book of in between. So I better just repent, and at least I know I have another year. That, there's no confidence there. There's no security in that. There's no assurance in your salvation. So we have different kind of trumpet blasts that are given on that day. The first type is a long single blast. It's a straight, plain, smooth, continuous note, which I obviously couldn't play, symbolizing the expression of joy and contentment. The second type of a blast is three short blasts, and it's a combination of three broken notes. The third type is extremely short blasts consisting of nine staccato notes. It's a quick succession of short trills symbolizing trepidation and sorrow. And these first three types of blasts are intermixed back and forth until a total of 99 blasts are sounded. And then you have the fourth kind of blast, which is the last blast that's actually called the great blast or the last trump. Does that bring to your remembrance of anything? I want you to remember that. It's actually called the last trump. All right? So, looking at this, we can kind of see its future fulfillment. We have Israel's four springtime feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost. We see that fulfilled in the first coming of the Messiah. We see the last three fall feasts, Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, Day of Atonement, Tabernacles, we believe will be fulfilled in the second coming of Jesus Christ. For Israel, the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets is going to be a very dark day. It's the reason why it's celebrated the very first day of the first month, when it has the crescent moon, the new moon, when the sky is the darkest. Israel's prophets warned of these coming day of judgment for the nation. In Amos 5:18, it says, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. For what good is the day of the Lord to you?" And he's speaking to Israel. Okay. "It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, as though he went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him." So these are going to be difficult times. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? In Zephaniah 1, 5 and 6, 15, verse 15 and 16, it says, "That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of a trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers." In Joel 2:31, it says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." God's last trump is what that last blast is called. I can't help but see that all the way through 1 Thessalonians 4, as well as 1 Corinthians 15. And so I want you to go there. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians 4. We believe that this is speaking prophetically of the rapture of the church. If you don't know what the rapture of the church is, the rapture of the church is when Jesus comes back for his saints, takes them back to be with him in heaven, while there are 7 years of a very difficult period called the tribulation here on earth. Then at the end of that tribulation period, Jesus comes back with his saints, the church, to establish his kingdom here on earth, and he judges the earth at that point. And so the rapture is Jesus coming for his saints, taking the church out of the world, and then his second coming is him bringing his saints, the church, with him to establish his kingdom here on earth at his second coming. And I believe the Feast of Trumpets speaks of that, and here in 1 Thessalonians 4, I believe it speaks of that as well. And so here we read, starting in verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." Those who have fallen asleep is a figurative way of saying those who have died in Christ. Okay? "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. So, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So, we see the Feast of Trumpets. We know that it's called the last trump. And here we're told that we're going to have the voice of an archangel. We're going to hear a shout, the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And so one of the things is going to sound on this day when the rapture occurs. There's going to be a trump of God, a trumpet of God. On one hand, Jesus is going to give a shout. On the other hand, the archangel is going to repeat that shout. And then there's going to be a trumpet blast that will be blown, setting in motion the events of the rapture. Now, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So the way we are right now, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We cannot enter into heaven with this body, with this flesh. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. I love this. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The presence of this trumpet is mentioned twice here in verse 52. The events of the rapture are first the resurrection of the dead saints. This is where corruption puts on incorruption. You know, what's interesting is that that is in reference actually to 1 Thessalonians 4. Paul is one that wrote and spoke both of these. But he wants us to know, understand this, that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. So when that trumpet goes off, when Jesus shouts, when the archangel then repeats it and that trumpet goes, all of a sudden it says the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead speaks of their body. Remember, we're talking about a bodily resurrection. Okay? So their spirit, their soul is already with Jesus in heaven. But when the rapture takes place, those who have died in faith, they're already with Jesus. But as he comes down, as we meet him in the clouds, before we meet him, the dead will rise first, meaning their bodies. So it talks about when it says, when it says here, for this corruptible must put on incorruption in 1 Corinthians 15, 53, what that's speaking of is those who are dead in Christ because their bodies are undergoing decay. And so those who are being corrupted, those who are corrupting in the ground, their bodies are going to put on incorruption. But those of us who are alive will be caught up. And that's why it says, and what does it happen here? This mortal must put on immortality. It's actually giving us right there a commentary of what's going on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And that only makes sense because Paul's the one that is saying both of these accounts here. So this event will take place by the blowing of a trumpet, which is clearly said there's to be a last trumpet. This is the last trump, the last trumpet. Now, post-tribulationists, these are ones that believe that the church is actually going to go through the tribulation, actually use this verse to as evidence to kind of support their view. They would argue that since the rapture occurs at the last trump, and since the last trumpet is the seventh trumpet of the book of Revelation, this proves that the church will go through the tribulation. But this is where this argument falls completely apart. Paul is the one that is writing to the church here in Corinth. And as Paul is writing this, obviously when he's writing this, he's expecting his readers, the church at Corinth, to know what he's talking about when he talks about the last trumpet. The book of Revelation doesn't get written by John for another 30 years. So he cannot possibly be speaking of that seventh trumpet in Revelation. We know that in the millennial kingdom that there are going to be many trumpet blasts through many of the feasts that are still going to be celebrated in the millennial kingdom. So the seventh trumpet in Revelation cannot be the last trumpet either, because we're going to have other trumpets that are going to be sounding off when Jesus comes back again and sets up his kingdom here on earth. And as we celebrate the other feasts and festivals and things like that, we have other trumpet blasts that are going on there. Nothing ever separated.
That concludes this Thursday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Tune in tomorrow as Pastor Dave continues the series, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana.
And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.